The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is a little bit of a soggy morning out there on this Thursday, June the 4th. I am Peter Christian. That is Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick. What's happening, man? How you doing?
Doing good.
All right. Just so you know, folks, this first hour is open phones. And so whatever might be on your mind this morning, we'd love to hear from you about whatever it is you want to talk about. And then in the 9 o'clock hours, we look forward. We've got Governor Greg Gianforte is going to be with us from 9 until 9:30. And then Aaron Flint, who recently won a primary for Congress, he's going to be on with us from 9:30 until 10. So lots going on here on TalkBack this morning. But right now, the floor is yours. If there's something you'd like to talk about, please feel free to give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. So, yes, indeed. I was just looking until we get some calls. The University of Montana is welcoming something new to the campus. It is the new Missoula Starbucks location. It's going to be on the UM campus. I thought there was one already, but I guess not. Mm-mm. All right. Okay. So it's going to be in the Emma Lomason Center, what we used to call food service when I went to school 4,000 years ago. And it's going to be located in the former Rise and Rooted space on the east side of campus, bordering Arthur Avenue and the Ryman Memorial Mall. It's a 1,200-foot store, square foot store. It's going to offer the full Starbucks menu, accepting cash, debit, and credit cards, and the Starbucks card. However, UM dining dollars and bare bucks will not be accepted. So just so you know. All right.
Interesting.
So another place to drop by and get some Starbucks. Yeah, there you go.
We always need more Starbucks, I guess, even though I'm not a coffee drinker. So, yeah. Oh, well.
Neither am I. I'm a hot chocolate guy, and I will tell you that Starbucks does make some really good hot chocolate. So,
well, there you go.
When my wife and her sisters gather to which is like the holy grail for them, to go over to Starbucks and have coffee, they allow me to sit with them as they chatter and talk about solving the problems of the world while I drink my hot chocolate.
You don't get one of those like pink drinkity drink things that they call them or whatever. I figured you for a pink drink guy.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. I just know it's the name of one of their drinks. But
To be honest with you, I cannot see, with my flaming white hair, I cannot see myself drinking a pink drink. Sorry.
I don't know. Knock it till you try it. Who knows? But, yeah, no, it's, I mean, my sister's big into Starbucks, and so whenever we, like, go somewhere or something, we have to figure out where the nearest one is and how she can get her coffee first thing in the morning. And I don't even know if you call it coffee, like I said, with all this stuff that, you know, Sometimes people do their orders for Starbucks, and it's like they're speaking a different language, and I don't even know what they're saying.
A double, triple, macchiato, caramel, caramelito.
Pump this, half ice, shot of this. I'm like, well, okay. But, hey, that's, you know, to each their own. That's what, you know, that's fine. It's just, I'm glad I haven't been bitten by that bug because, yeah, I know it can be addicting. So.
And I prefer the upside down straw, please.
Or the straw made out of paper to save the turtles or something like that. Yeah.
Actually, yeah. To be honest with you, I hate drinking out of those paper straws.
A lot of people do.
Because they start breaking down immediately after water or liquid is introduced into the straws. It begins to, then you begin to taste the straw along with the drink and that. I realize we're saving the planet. We have to make a couple of sacrifices. All right. First break coming up, 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. It is open phones. Whatever you'd like to talk about is what we'd like to talk about right now. And so if you have something on your mind, give us a call, 406-721-1290. We're coming right back after this quick timeout here on TalkBack. Perfect. TalkBackers sponsor.
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Starting off today, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain, but clearing off through the afternoon with highs around 70. Clear skies will keep things a little chilly tonight with Friday morning lows in the mid-30s to around 40 degrees. The first part of the weekend looking pretty good with sunshine Friday and highs in the mid-70s, maybe just over 80. Winds could be gusty, partly cloudy Saturday, but with clouds rolling in later and a 20% chance of a little rain showers on Sunday morning.
Questions and taking your phone calls, and Nancy is calling. You're our first open phones caller. Nancy, what's on your mind, ma'am?
Hey, morning, Glory, and I just want to say that Nick talking about his sisters and Starbucks, you know, that takes me back to the 1950s with the Beatnik generation who...
the Beatniks, wow.
Well, we were kids, yeah, the Beatniks. Who were the forerunners of course, the hippies in the 60s. But
right.
They had the coffee houses and the Peter, Paul, and Mary and the folk music and the communication between the younger generation back then, the college kids. And they would serve my understanding is they would serve in many of the coffee houses this Turkish coffee. And the Turks brew a very, very strong coffee, and that's why their coffee cups are so small in comparison to the mugs that we use. But I think it's wonderful that the younger generation can meet and chat and experiment and try different brews.
Let me tell you this. It's not just the younger generation that goes to Starbucks. I mean, there's,
yeah, you know, I know that.
There's all sorts of generation. But please, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Yeah, and but the younger generation has grown up with Starbucks. You know, that's to us. To me, it's just a continuation of what was going on in the 1950s. But the election of Tuesday, I understand that 37% of Montanans showed up to vote, registered voters, and I guess that's the norm. I wish it would be a little bit higher.
Should be twice that.
Yes, I wish that Americans and Montanans would just get out there and vote. More.
It is so easy now. All you have to do is sit at your kitchen table and fill out your ballot.
Yeah, well, that's a pain in the butt. That's getting to be a real issue, especially California. They're saying this could be weeks before they know in California.
Wow.
And, you know, our Constitution forbids that. You're supposed to have speedy elections. And I don't know how California's got away with that crap as long as they have, but I'm sure that they'll rig it towards the Democrats. They always do in that state. But anyway, Muscatel County, we had some surprises here. And I know I went down and voted, and there were cars parked on both sides of the street to our community center where we vote, you know. And so I was glad that people did turn out. Anyway, the big ones in November, you're going to have Aaron on today later on. And there was no doubt that he was going to take it. And so that's wonderful news, but he's going to have to go against a Democrat in November, so we'll see how that goes.
Sam Forstag, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you for the call, ma'am.
Always go ahead, Nick, please.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, while we're on it, I was going to go over all the results, so let's just do that really quick.
Go for it.
If we have time, we'll get to the calls. Nancy, yeah, let the cat out of the bag there. Obviously, Aaron Flint. One with 50% of the vote over Christy Jacobson and Dr. Al. And then Sam Forstag, he came back overnight and took over, beating out Ryan Bussey and Russell Cleveland, all of which we had on this show.
Right.
And on the other side, Kurt Almy for senator, he won with 76% of the vote, wasn't even close. And then on the Democrat side there, Alani Bankhead, we have not interviewed her yet, so we'll have to get her on the schedule. Same with Kurt, a couple times here before November. But she won on the Democratic side, beating Riley Neal, who we spoke with briefly. Let's see, going down the rest of the list. Brian Miller won the Democratic ticket for his second congressional district. He'll be running against Troy Downing, who ran unopposed. And obviously is an incumbent.
Right.
Now, if we're looking at Public Service Commission, we had some folks on from there. In District 5, where we had David Sanders on, he lost out to Annie Bukacek, who we've had on a couple times. She's called during open phones.
Right.
So she won that race. It's the state Supreme Court. Dan Wilson lost out by 2% to Amy Eddy for Supreme Court Justice number 4. I think that was all kind of the major ones that we needed to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all the people that moved on, we'll form a list and try to get them on again for the first time and let you hear from them.
You bet. Folks are waiting on the line right now. Mark is waiting. Mark, good morning. What's on your mind? It's open phones. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. I was just looking at some statistics the other day and kind of struck me. Yeah, on average, in Montana, we pay about $10 and $11 billion in federal taxes every year. And that's every resident of Montana, all their taxes paid to the federal government combined. And if you look at the fraud that we just uncovered in Minnesota, California,
right,
you can picture that every dime of every dollar that paid in Montana to federal taxes was wasted. And it was just a very sobering thought, and I thought I'd share it with everybody.
Well, there's nothing we can do about corruption in Minnesota and other states, or Illinois, or whatever it might be. But what we can do is keep an eagle eye on what's going on in Montana, and I think we do that.
That's true. And elect people that are not willing to give away our money to fraud. We're willing to fight the fraud. You know, right now, one of our parties is fighting to keep the fraud, it seems like, all over the place. And I'm just really fed up with the whole thing.
Well,
I appreciate your time, guys.
But you can make your views known at the ballot box, and that's what it's all about. But thanks for the call. Yeah. We appreciate it, sir. We don't have enough time to take another call right now, but we have Roy, Catherine, and Ed all standing by. If you will be patient, we'll have a quick commercial break coming up here, and we'll be more than happy to take your calls and find out what's going on open phones. Just a little reminder that we have Governor Greg Gianforte will be with us on the phone from 9 to 9:30 this morning, and then following that from 9:30 until 10, Aaron Flint, who just won the district House primary for the Republican on the Republican side. He's going to be with us from 9:30 to 10. So all sorts of opportunities for you to talk with folks who are looking for ways to make a living a little bit better and easier and more prosperous for all of us here in Montana. So thanks for joining us here on Talk Back. We're going to come right back. Again, our phone number, 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309 on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana. With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
Game 1 of the NBA Finals goes to the New York Knicks as they go into San Antonio and knock off the Spurs. Final score last night, 105-95. Jalen Brunson didn't have an efficient night, but he still finished with 30 points on 12 of 31 and hit a couple of big shots down the stretch, including a corner three. Karl Anthony Towns, he finished with a double-double, 18 points, 12 rebounds. Josh Hart had 15 rebounds and 6 assists. For San Antonio, Victor Wembanyama, 26 points, but it wasn't very efficient either. 6 of 21 from the floor. He went 12 of 13 at the free throw line. He grabbed 12 rebounds as well. Game 2 coming up Friday night. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up tonight. Vegas will try and take a 2-0 lead over Carolina. That's a look at sports, Sammy.
You've been diagnosed with COPD, but breathing is getting harder. Everyday activities take more effort, and life feels smaller. Is this you? If your COPD is getting worse, there are options to help you breathe easier. Learn more at isthisyoucopd.org.
Hey, we're back on this Thursday edition of Talk Back. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, and Roy has been waiting through the break. Roy, it's open phone, sir. What's on your mind, please?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. Good morning. I'd like to make a comment about this the federal government and some millionaires want to promote the building of nuclear power plants. I think it's utter foolishness. You know, you can't fix stupid. Only stupid can fix stupid. But if stupid wants to remain stupid, stupid will stay stupid. So I look at this as utter foolishness, and I have four reasons why I think we shouldn't be building nuclear power plants. Number one, it still produces a waste that's highly toxic, not for 50 years, not 100 years, but thousands of years. Number two, you can have a meltdown of the protective uranium shield due to cracks from earthquakes, etc., which causes an explosion. I believe that's what happened at Chernobyl. Number three, they're a prime target of terrorist bombing. Number four, they're expensive to build. And there's a reason why Montana hasn't built any nuclear power plants or has any nuclear waste sites, because it's foolish for those reasons. Now, we're leaving our children with trillions of dollars in wasteful and national debt. And I personally don't want to leave our children with thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of highly toxic nuclear waste that doesn't break down for thousands of years, that can leak into our groundwater supplies and things of that nature. And we have other sources of power we should be developing and working on with our great American innovative ways of doing things. And these millionaires that want to build these AI plants, or the people that have a lot of money to build these AI plants, they say they use a lot of electricity. Well, I say let them build their own power sources. Use a diesel generator at their power plant and generate it to a battery bank and power it that way, or build their plants in Arizona where they can use the sun to generate the power, or Wyoming. I lived in Wyoming. The wind blew every day. I was there for a year. It blew every day, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon from the same direction. Build the plants there and generate their own power. We don't need nuclear power plants, and we need to balance the federal budget.
All right.
And we need to encourage, I want to encourage all the listeners to write the representatives, or call the representatives, and stop this foolishness. Nuclear power is, in my opinion, you do the research yourself, is still not a safe source of power.
All right.
And thank you.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Catherine's up next. Catherine, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. A couple of things I wanted to bring up. This is out of the American Thinker. There's an increase in democratic socialism in the heartland of the United States. It's been, of course, around for a long time. In Pennsylvania, Chris Robb will be in the U.S. House because the GOP did not run any candidates in the primary.
Wow.
In Kentucky, Robert Bell will be the first socialist elected to the Capitol in 148 years. Michigan, Maine, Colorado are fielding candidates to the U.S. Senate. Wisconsin is fielding a woman by the name of Francesca Hong, and she's the front runner on the Democratic Party's nomination for the governorship. And the DSA is opening new chapters in Missouri, Montana, Ohio, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and elsewhere. I think people need to understand and look at the policies that the Democratic Socialist Party espouses, because I don't think that they understand just how much in opposition to the whole notion of capitalism the Democratic Socialism is, because socialism or Democratic Socialism calls for public rather than private ownership or control of property and natural resources. So society as a whole should own or at least control property for the benefit of all its members. That's that of Karl Marx, by the way. So it stands in direct opposition to the private ownership of means of production and individual choices in a free market. And it seems to be the direction that is going, and people seem to be unaware of that. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Catherine, you've given us an excellent primer to that. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
We don't have time to take another call right now, but we will right after the commercial break. So we have Ed, Jeff, and Emmett all standing by with their comments. It is open phones until 9 o'clock this morning. And we look forward to hearing from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, looking ahead, Governor Gianforte will be with us on the phone from 9 until 9:30. Of course, taking your phone calls, as he always does. And then from 9:30 to 10, Aaron Flint, who just won the House primary, is going to be with us from 9:30 to 10. So all sorts of great conversations coming up with you on TalkBack. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Starting off today, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain, but clearing off through the afternoon with highs around 70. Clear skies will keep things a little chilly tonight with Friday morning lows in the mid-30s to around 40 degrees. The first part of the weekend looking pretty good with sunshine Friday and highs in the mid-70s, maybe just over 80. Winds could be gusty, partly cloudy Saturday, but with clouds rolling in later and a 20% chance of a little rain showers on Sunday morning.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries. Leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets, and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Parents have a lot to get done in a day.
Sit tight, hon. I'll be right back.
But even when we're rushed, always remember, temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left in the car. Every time you park the car, stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back. This is the Thursday, June 4th edition of Talk Back. Open phones continues with Ed, who's been waiting the longest. Ed, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Wow. That music gets at my ear.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. One thing first, France gets 70%, I think that's the number, 70% of their electricity from nuclear.
Right.
It'd be interesting to talk to them about how things are going. About California, problem with them and being so slow is that the requirement is that the ballot must be postmarked by a certain date, and then you're at the mercy of the post office. How long does it take to get delivered to wherever it has to go? Should be like Montana, where it has to be there by election night. Then you have all the ballots there to count. One last thing is that a name popped up as I was going through the list of contestants around the state. A name popped up that I hadn't heard of this.
You mean candidates?
Yeah, okay, right.
I'm sorry.
Well, they're contestants.
A little slip of the tongue there. Go ahead. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and it was Monica Tranell.
Yeah.
She won a Democratic primary. I'm not sure where, if it's in Helena or where it is, but I was surprised that maybe she should come on the show sometime.
Well, we've had her on before, and I will tell you, she's very committed to her cause. She works very, very hard, trying to get elected, trying to have an influence in state politics, and bless her heart for that. I mean, that's the American way. So who knows what's going to happen in the future with her?
Well, I counted them up one time, and there were 6 losses that could be tagged on her. Including ones where she wasn't selected by her own party to fill in a vacancy, whatever. But anyway, the name kind of maybe shake my head a little bit. Well, I hadn't heard about her. Okay, that'd be it.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. So every time I've spoken with her, she's been very cordial and a very nice person. So Jeff is up next. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Peter. As tempted as I am, I'm going to forego politics for the moment.
Okay.
And talk about something that I just found out about yesterday. I think Dennis Bragg had it on an earlier news show, but I think folks need to have this foot stomped. You're aware of the Rocky Mountain Lab down at Hamilton.
Yes, right? I heard about that. That's, nasty stuff.
Yeah, it's a biosafety level 4 lab, which means that it has the worst pathogens around the world. And their head of virus, or chief of virus ecology, a guy named Vincent Munster, and you can't make this up, his nickname is Herman.
Of course. Sorry.
And, and a guy named Claude Wee, who works for him. In January, they were coming back from the Congo. I guess they were over there to look at the monkeypox outbreak.
Right.
Anyway, they flew into Detroit with 113 vials of biological samples, and they didn't have this in a case and checked it and had any suitable precautions. No, they hand carried it on board. And then,
okay, all right. Go ahead,
when
please.
Customs asked what was in the large black plastic case. They said, only diagnostic and testing equipment.
Wow.
But they opened the case and they found the 113 vials. And they've tested, as of this report, they tested 20. And of the 20, 17 contained deactivated monkeypox virus. I have no idea what that means. One had chickenpox virus and 2 had only human DNA. So I guess those people hadn't been infected yet. But that leaves 93 more vials to check. And these were in styrofoam coolers in a plastic suitcase.
Wow.
Carried on board and then lied about. And these are people who are in charge of virus ecology, whatever that is, at Rocky Mountain Lab.
That's frightening.
He's the chief. He should know better. But he's he's from the Netherlands, and his helper is from Cameroon. So I guess they don't think that U.S. law applies to them.
Wow.
But it does, and they're now currently under investigation. They've been charged, and if they're convicted, they will have, I think it's 5 years.
Yeah.
You can get up to 5 years. So,
Jeff, we are up against a hard break, but thanks for sharing that important information with us. We appreciate it. We're going to come right back. We have Emmett and Dave both standing by. It's open phones till 9 o'clock. Stay with us. You're listening to Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Thanks so much for joining us on Talk Back this morning. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us, as Emmett is doing right now. Emmett, good morning. It's open phone, sir. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, I have a question. First of all, I thought Mr. Forstag was the winner of the primary. First, it was Aaron Flint, but then they changed their mind, or it was, I guess there was a miscalculation, turned out to be Mr. Forstag. I can't remember his first name.
Emmett, they're on different tickets.
Yeah. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat.
And they're going to go against each other.
Yeah. That's right. Well, you know, I just woke up. You know, it's very hard
that.
To think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I really want, thanks for the correction, what I really wanted to talk about was I saw something disturbing a couple of days ago on CNN. I got only part of the story because I was just flipping through the channels. They were talking about a Congressman Ogles, I believe. He might be a senator. He was on the Republican. And they were lamenting, the commentators were lamenting about some sort of homophobic post against homosexuality. They didn't say what it was. I tuned in too late. Do you know anything about this? I didn't read the post, what it said, but I think it's very disturbing that you can't say anything for a lot of liberals. You can't say anything against the homosexual LGBTQ+ community. If you say homosexuality is a sin, it's like even your fellow Republicans are going to trounce on you. I mean, like, you know, there's no deviation. There is no disagreement with the LGBT agenda. This is very disturbing because it's free speech. I don't know what he said.
Well, I can tell you, Representative Andy Ogles, a Republican from Tennessee, deleted what was admittedly a homophobic comment he posted from his official Congressional X account this week, and blamed a staffer for posting it following backlash from both Democrats and Republicans. Pardon me. The deleted post, which came at the beginning of Pride Month, read, quote, "Homosexuality has no place in America. Happy Nuclear Family Month," end quote. So that's what all the controversy was about.
Amazing. Because basically, Ali, I would have preferred to say homosexual acts are a sin. Repent, believe in the gospel. Happily Nuclear Family Month, but that is not trying to incite violence against them. I don't believe in violence against them or anybody. It's stating your opinion. You shouldn't have a backlash against even Republicans. That is just, unless you're in lockstep with political correctness, you will be punished. Well, that's Orwellian. Did you ever read 19...
Continuing on this, Mr. Ogles said, quote, "A member of my comms team," end quote, communications team, sent the post. "The post was stupid, hurtful, and a complete distraction from my America First focus. The employee has been reprimanded." So, yeah, he's done everything he had to step away from that.
Well, it's disturbing. That could have been me, the employee. That would have been reprimanded. That sounds like something I would say. I wouldn't have said it has no place in America. I just would have said it's a sin. You know, and we must repent. People must repent of their sins. You know what? It's like, this is Orwellian. Did you ever read 1984? I mean, the Democrats have begun, even some Republicans have become Orwellian. You dare to speak on a post about sin and about redemption or the certain sins that we have in America, and boy, you're punished or can be fired. That is just Orwellian. That is socialism, communism. We have to pray for revival in America. That's really, really disturbing. and for everyone to be up in arms, even other Republicans. I mean, how far have we slipped in America? We've got to pray, and thankfully the 700 Club has the call to, you know, pray for America, and that's what we've got to do. All right, thank you.
Emmett, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Dave is standing by. Dave, good morning, sir. It's open phones. Please go ahead.
Yes, from the numbers I've seen, if you want to live longer in America, in the United States of America, the most important thing to live longer is to be wealthy.
I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
Yes, be wealthy and you'll live longer. And that doesn't apply to, from what I've read, from Canadians or Europeans. They tend to live longer than Americans because not every American is wealthy. And, you know, poorer people...
It just makes sense because if you're wealthy, then you can afford a good insurance policy, health insurance policy, or be able to pay for your own health care. If you're not a well-to-do person, sometimes health care can be too expensive to afford.
Yeah, and you don't go to the doctor when a small ailment happens and turns out to be cancerous, and when they finally do catch it later on. And you spend months in the hospital and die earlier than you would have if you'd gone to the doctor when it was a small problem. So, I mean, you know, financially, that's why Americans don't live as long as Europeans, because those small ailments, they just go to the doctor.
Well, I will tell you this. I have relatives who work in medicine, in the hospital business, and anyone can go into an emergency room to get treated. Everyone who goes in gets treated, no matter what, whether they're drunk, whether they're stoned, whatever it might be, whatever has happened to them, they are required by law to be treated with the very finest treatment possible when they go into the ER. So just so you know.
Yes, I agree. But, it's the slight ailment. It's the, there's a bump. You know, there's a bump on my, you know, on my skin that I ignore. You know, a rich person would run to the, you know, like I do. I ran to the doctor and had it checked and it was removed and I was fine. But, you know, a poor person who can't afford the insurance hesitates. And doesn't go to the emergency room because it's just a little sore. Yeah. And by the time they find it, it's cancerous, and they die earlier than I would have died, you know, because I got it taken out. So I mean, our healthcare system is not up to the task.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. And you're bringing us right up to the commercial break here. And all the phone lines are clear. It's open phones. If there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call, 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. Governor Gianforte in the 9 o'clock hour from 9 to 9:30, and then Aaron Flint from 9:30 until 10, right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Coming right back. Montana
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible with support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we, because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hey, we're back. Let's talk back, final segment of Open Phones, and the phone lines are completely clear. So if there's something on your mind you'd like to bring up, maybe related to something we've already talked about or something new that's been on your mind, hey, that's what Open Phones is all about. 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 is our number. In lieu of that, though, I got this report that Montana is number 3 in the nation with the highest job resignation rates. I'm going, wow. That blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Alaska is number one with 2.83 on average, highest resignation rate. Indiana, I don't know why, is in second place, 2.8%. Montana follows in third with 2.73% of people with the highest resignation rate. So that's kind of crazy. Let's see. For September 2025 to December 2025, an average, check this out, an average of 14,500 people in Montana quit their jobs every month. Wow.
Coming from a guy who's been in radio for, what, 53 years or something like that? Yeah.
What else would I do? I could go back to being a box boy at Buttery's, which was my last job. All right, Susan's on the phone. Susan, good morning, ma'am. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Well, I just want to say that I was extremely disappointed with the behavior of MTGOP and Americans for Prosperity. They spend, I don't think MTGOP spent it, but I know Americans for Prosperity spent at least $500,000, if not way more, on media, mailers, presence on social media, et cetera, that propagated lies against Republicans that were running in their incumbency races. About half of the people that were targeted by AFP made it through, but it was very, very expensive for people that are part-time legislators, and it caused them to have to scramble to combat. In fact, one of the legislators, one of the senators down in Ravalli County, received 30 mailers from other sources, mostly AFP and other sources, targeting him and calling him names and accusing him of things that he never did and showing him in pictures that were AI generated.
Unflattering. And, right.
Well, they were more than unflattering.
Okay, gotcha.
They were downright horrible.
Okay.
And this happened across the state. The materials that were being generated were similar to all of the candidates that had been targeted. And I think I hope that the Republicans, now that we're over our primaries, will unify and play nice in the sandbox. And
all right. Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Susan. Appreciate it. Kevin from Bozeman, you're going to wrap things up for this hour. Sir, what's on your mind?
Yes. Earlier, you had a caller who was making the case against having a nuclear power plant in Montana, anyway, if I heard right. And he gave his 4 points. But I think it would have been better if he had given examples for some of those points, if not all of them. And we all know that, you know, there was stuff that happened many years ago in this country and Europe. And the most recent that most people know about was Japan, the Fukushima 2011.
Right.
And I just want to say, maybe he can call again and give examples. But I'll say for me, I would be fine with a nuclear power plant, maybe even 10 miles away, you know, here in Bozeman, a growing area. So that's my point.
Yeah, the whole Three Mile Island thing really threw a scare into everyone. China Syndrome was a movie that came out and kind of scared the heck out of everyone. And I'm sure that set back that industry quite a bit.
Right. But anyway, we've all learned lessons. And once again, to give an answer to the left-wing, the environmental advocates on the left, you know, nuclear plants are not fossil fuel, obviously, and they satisfy demands for electric power.
Well, they've been humming right along in many areas of the country with no problems. And so we're hoping, we're keeping our fingers crossed on that as well. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it, Kevin.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for the call. And all over the state, people are calling in on TalkBack, and we appreciate that now that we're statewide. So if ever we have a topic that you'd like to call in on, wherever you live in the state, if you're listening, just please feel free to give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And the more the merrier. If you're listening and you hear something that piques your interest, we definitely want to hear from you. But right now, we're going to take our top of the hour break. When we come back, Governor Greg Gianforte will be joining us for the first half hour from 9 to 9:30, and then Aaron Flint will be joining us from 9:30 until 10. So stay with us. Much, much more to come on this edition for Thursday on TalkBack. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning once again, everyone. Glad to have you along this morning on this Thursday edition of TalkBack. And we are going to jump right in to a conversation for this first half hour, first 25 minutes anyway, with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Governor, it's good to have you on again. How are you, sir?
Yeah, Peter, Nick, good to be with you.
All right. So tell us what's on your agenda. You've got so much going on in your office. We'd like to devote the first segment of our time together with you to share what's been going on in your office and throughout the state.
Sure. Just a couple of things. One thing, we're going to break the news here on the radio, but today we're expanding our stewardship agreement with the Forest Service. This is a first of its kind agreement we signed a year ago with the Forest Service that allows the state to start managing federal land. We announced two landscapes under the agreement in December, but today we're announcing a third landscape on the Lolo National Forest, another 345,000 acres that the U.S. Forest Service is going to designate forest management responsibility to the state. That brings the total under this stewardship agreement, first of its kind in the country, to almost 1 million acres. And the bottom line is the state can do a better job than the feds. We'll have healthier forests. We'll have timber going to our mills. There'll be better habitat. Everybody's winning. So I'm very pleased to announce that here, Peter, on your show. We'll get the details out later today to everybody else. Also, earlier this week, we announced that we're joining Melania Trump's A Home for Every Child initiative. This is a foster care program that helps states. We're the 25th state to join this, and we've made remarkable progress. We've been able, since I came into office, we've been able to cut the number of kids in Montana foster care approximately in half. But joining this A Home for Every Child program removes additional red tape, makes it easier for kinship care so that grandma or uncle can take care of kids. And it also reduces the bureaucratic record keeping to the federal government, restricts the KPIs to just a couple so we can have literally a horse race with these other states. Let's compete to make sure every child has a permanent loving home.
It just seems to me that's such a common sense way of handling this, rather than going from the top down, the federal government to the state to the cities and counties. I mean, we should be able to handle this ourselves, and it looks like we're doing it.
Yeah, we are. The one of the things that was interesting, we had the Assistant Secretary of HHS, Assistant Secretary Adams was with us in Helena when we announced this. And he said, under the old regime, every state had to comply with federal regulations. These reports were hundreds of pages, 300 pages of data. Often the data was 2 or 3 years old when it was submitted.
Wow.
He checked with his staff in Washington. Nobody was reading the reports.
Wow.
So we've now gone to to just a handful of metrics, and instead of reporting them 2 or 3 years in arrears, we're going to report this handful of data points every month. They're immediately going to go up on a website, and these 25 states that are part of this, A Home for Every Child, we're going to compete with each other on who's doing the best job.
That sounds great. We're coming up against a first commercial break here, and we already have caller Bill is waiting to visit with you when we come back from the break. Other phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, we are privileged to have with us until 9:30 this morning Governor Greg Gianforte, and he's here. He loves taking your phone calls, talking with his constituency here in Western Montana. Of course, now that we're statewide, throughout the entire state of Montana. So if you have a question for Governor Gianforte here on TalkBack, give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Back after this.
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Starting off today mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain, but clearing off through the afternoon with highs around 70. Clear skies will keep things a little chilly tonight with Friday morning lows in the mid-30s to around 40 degrees. The first part of the weekend looking pretty good with sunshine Friday and highs in the mid-70s, maybe just over 80. Winds could be gusty, partly cloudy Saturday, but with clouds rolling in later and a 20% chance of a little rain showers on Sunday morning.
We are back. This is TalkBack. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, producing TalkBack. We're honored to have with us Governor Greg Gianforte on the phone. And folks are already lined up to talk with you, sir. So Bill is first. Bill, good morning. You're on with our governor. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Good morning, Governor.
Hi, Bill.
You know, releasing this land for management, better care is wonderful. But it's kind of, a lot of us feel like it's too little too late. The mills are gone, the loggers are gone, the infrastructure is gone. And that's not a switch you can just turn back on and say, yeah, come back to work. And who in their right mind will invest hundreds of millions of dollars to be that infrastructure, knowing when the next liberal Congress or whatever administration gets in, which will happen, it'll be gone. Where is this wood that is supposed to be managed besides Idaho, which costs twice as much to get it there? Where is the plan for this to go, and what's being done about that?
Hey, Bill, that's a really good question. Let me just share with you first what's really great about this stewardship agreement. It's a 20-year agreement. And we're using the Good Neighbor Authority, which is part of the Farm Bill. And historically, I mean, I worked on this when I was in Congress, extending the term of these Good Neighbor Authority agreements. Historically, the state had only done very short-term ones, like a couple of years. But the enabling legislation allows 20-year contracts. We had never done one. We'd only ever done one that was 10 years. So having a longer horizon that spans multiple federal administrations is really going to help us. And let me just share a couple of numbers, because this is really encouraging. Wood for our mills comes from a couple places in Montana. It comes from private timberlands. It comes from state trust lands. That's the 5 million acres of state sections. That produces about 50 million board feet a year. The Forest Service claims a couple hundred million board feet a year, but they include firewood and some other stuff that really doesn't count as saw logs. And under the Good Neighbor Authority, historically, we've done about 20 million board feet a year. Under this stewardship agreement, we're forecasting that the Good Neighbor Authority harvest totals are going to go from about 20 million board feet a year. By the end of next year, we'll do 80 million board feet next year. That's a 4X increase, and we hope we can go up from there as we add more acreage to this. Because we have 20-year agreements, we're hopeful we can span multiple federal administrations. And I would say, although we've lost mill capacity, and that is a tragedy,
all of our existing mills right now in Montana are only running one shift. If we added a second shift, we could double mill capacity without a single dollar of investment, just the hiring necessary. And if necessary, we could go to three shifts, and that would triple the mill capacity, again, with no capital investment. So the first thing we need to do is get our existing mills running at full capacity, and then hopefully we'll have to force the economics will force people to make investments to get to build out mill capacity again. So first things first, we got to get log supply. We got to get our forests healthy. We got to end this forest health crisis that we have. But those are the steps we're taking.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Joe is standing by. Joe, good morning. You're on with Governor Gianforte. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wanted to comment that I think the Pride movement has kind of outdone itself in the sense that they have gay marriage and they have gotten a lot of what they wanted, but now they're pushing for grooming of kids, you know, and that's where that's their downfall. But I was just curious, can you tell me what's the latest on the Senate race to fill Steve Daines' seat? I'm concerned that the Republicans could lose that seat.
All right, thanks for the call.
Well, I was really pleased to see Kurt Almy win so decisively in the primary. Also, shout out to Aaron Flint. He did very well. Of course, Troy Downing was unopposed in the Republican primary. Kurt Almy, I've known for a long time, over 20 years. He was the revenue director under Judy Martz. He's a Harvard lawyer, trained lawyer, grew up in Miles City. He's a Montanan through and through. He was my budget director during my first term. Right. He's the one that helped us cut your income taxes. Kurt Almy's a great candidate. We just had an event at our home in Bozeman here last Friday. He's gaining momentum as people get to know him. They're recognizing he's going to do a great job, and I would just encourage you, as you have opportunity, get to know him as well and do what you can to support him. We need to win that race.
Thank you for the call. All right, let's continue. I believe Ward is standing by. Ward, good morning. You're on with Governor Gianforte. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Talking about the forests and the logs, I live down here in the southern Bitterroot, Hamilton, and one of the issues that is brought up, there's a lot of stuff that got knocked over in the December storm, but the distances to haul the logs to the mills in Deer Lodge or Columbia Falls, it's uneconomic. So do you have any ideas what we can do, what can be done about that?
All right. Thanks for the call, sir. Governor.
Yeah, as we've been working with the timber industry, recognizing that we don't have a mill in every community, I've been leaning on them. There are programs in place to help them. In fact, one mill in Montana had trouble getting rid of its residuals. I got some money from the U.S. Forest Service to help them underwrite transportation costs. And these are some of the stopgap things we're going to have to do until mill capacity starts to get built out again. I think we've been on a decline for a long time in losing mill capacity. I'm hopeful we're at a nadir, the low point. And as we start increasing log supply, we'll get these second shifts back. And at some point, it'll start to pencil out to make investments in new mill capacity. But the capital is a coward, and it flees risk. And until we have reliable long-term log supply, it's very difficult to get people to make those investments. So we're helping the mills with stopgap funding, mostly federal, to help them get the logs to market.
We're going to come right back after this with Governor Greg Gianforte.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. The National Institutes of Health say it's cooperating with federal investigators who have accused two of the researchers at the Rocky Mountain Labs in Hamilton of smuggling deactivated Mpox virus samples into the United States. Yesterday, the Department of Justice filed charges against researchers Vincent Munster, head of RML's virus ecology section, and research fellow Claude Kaway. FBI investigators accused the pair of bringing the samples back to the U.S. after a visit to an outbreak zone in the Congo. Prosecutors say the researchers told Customs and Border Patrol agents at the Detroit airport that a large case only contained diagnostic equipment, but a search found 113 vials in styrofoam coolers. Testing showed 20 of those vials contained deactivated Mpox virus, previously called monkeypox, with one filled with chickenpox and two with human DNA. U.S. Attorney Jerome Gorgon Jr. and the HHS Office of Inspector General have both strongly condemned the action, stating that the unauthorized transport of biological materials on a commercial aircraft bypassed critical safety protocols and breached public's trust. In a statement, NIH is saying this matter is currently under investigation and NIH is cooperating fully with law enforcement and appropriate authorities. Because this is an ongoing investigation and personnel matter, we are limited in what additional information we can provide at this time. The pair made an initial court appearance in Missoula yesterday. Rumors of an incident first surfaced last fall with a reporter researcher at the lab had been bitten by a rhesus macaque monkey being used in studies not of Mpox, but Congo hemorrhagic fever. The incident was monitored following lab protocols and the researcher was okay. However, the case rebooted attention in the lab's operations with the release of a so-called whistleblower report last month and Senator Tim Sheehy calling for an investigation. It's expected the case will focus on one main point, the fact that you can do this type of research, especially at a certified lab like the one in Hamilton, but it's a case of moving that material across state and international boundaries. This is the Montana State News Network.
Enough already.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Hey, we're back on Talkback. 721-1290 is our number, redeeming the time with Governor Greg Gianforte. And Greg, I know one of the things that just happened recently is you got the statewide fire briefing for the season to come. What would you share? What you heard on that, please, sir?
Well, we had local, state, and our federal fire partners together. And let me say, I want to thank everybody for praying for rain. I called for a day of prayer here 2 weeks ago, and the heavens opened up last weekend. In some parts of the state, we got 2 to 4 inches of rain. We desperately needed it for our farmers. The forests are not as thirsty as they were. So this has given us some short-term relief. We got the weather forecast for the summer. We still have some dryness in southwestern Montana and eastern Montana. But I want folks to know we're ready for fire season. We've upgraded a bunch of the state equipment. We have good collaborative agreements with our federal partners. We have contractors lined up. We have an air tanker under contract jointly with Alaska. Our National Guard is trained, and the channels of communication are open. So we're a little bit at the mercy of Mother Nature, but things are better this week than they were last week, and it just depends on how much precipitation we get here in June.
All right. We only have about 5 minutes left in our time with you, Governor, so I want to get as many calls in as we can. TR has been waiting the longest. TR, good morning. You're on with Governor Gianforte. Go ahead. Hello, TR. Are you there? Okay, let's move on to Jeff. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Governor Gianforte. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hello.
Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, Jeff.
You're on.
Hey, sorry. I got distracted there for a second. Governor, with all the emphasis on rare earths and different things, I keep thinking about the Berkeley Pit and all the minerals that are down in there. It's a toxic slough for wildlife, birds, migrating birds and such, but I can't help but think that there's a lot of stuff in there that might be useful economically, and are you pursuing any of that for the state?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And there's work. Montana Resources in Butte has a partnership with a firm that's actually mining minerals out of the water in the Berkeley Pit. It's commercially viable. It's been running for a number of years. I haven't gotten an update recently, but you're absolutely right. There are rare earths not only in the water, but also in some of the waste rock. And let me just say, Montana's going to lead. We've always been the treasure state. We've had a huge uptick in exploratory mine permit applications at the Department of Environmental Quality. Of course, we scrutinize those to make sure we're protecting the environment. But we just had a firm move to Dillon that's mining tungsten down in Dillon. They moved their world headquarters from Canada to Dillon, Montana. So we're seeing investment. We can develop our natural resources and protect the environment, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Now, Governor, what we want to do, I want to be faithful to your schedule. We only got about three and a half minutes left. I want to give those minutes to you. Are there things that we haven't talked about yet that you'd like to share with our listening audience here throughout Montana?
Yeah, Peter, thank you so much. And it's just such an honor to come on and interact with folks. I so appreciate it. You know, I come on every month and try and get on most of the radio stations in the state every month. But the big news this past week, in addition to the foster care work, in addition to the stewardship agreement that we announced today, we had a big announcement earlier this week. Janicki Industries, this is a military contractor that builds parts for the U.S. Department of War, announced that they bought 185 acres in Great Falls, Montana, and they are going to invest over $800 million initially in plant. They're going to build over 1 million square feet, and they're going to employ over 1,000 people in Great Falls making parts for the U.S. military. This was a big deal. We competed with another number of other states to land this business, and I'm just pleased to have Janicki moving. Montana's open for business. People know this. Ag is always going to be our number one industry, but our farmers and ranchers keep getting better and better at what they do. We need to diversify our economy. Advanced manufacturing creates good, high quality, good wage jobs. Janicki's going to drag a bunch of other military contractors with them, and I'd like to see a machine shop, you know, maybe 10 to 30 employees in every small town across the country. That'll give local families other options so we don't have to keep exporting our kids and grandkids to other states whose economy is stronger. We're coming back. I ran on the whole platform of the Montana comeback, and we're making it happen.
I wanted to ask you just very quickly, you had mentioned you sound so enthusiastic and forward-looking about the future. Give us 30 seconds of why the future is looking really good for Montana.
Well, the market has responded. I mean, we had a very simple platform. I'm with the government. I'm here to stay out of your way. Let's lower taxes. Let's remove friction from regulations. And what has happened? We've had record low unemployment, which means people are finding work. We have more people working than ever before. Montana, when I came into office, the average Montana wage was $14,000 below the national average. Now it's $4,000 below the national average. Wonderful. We're one of only two states where wage growth has exceeded inflation over the last 5 years since I've been in office. So we're making progress. We still have things to work on, housing affordability, behavioral health, but that's what we're working on.
Governor, we're out of time. Thank you for sharing your valuable time with us. We appreciate it. We're going to come right back and with more. And, of course, Aaron Flint's going to be with us from 9:30 until 10. So please stay with us on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Hey, it's Denise.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. and each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
They are our cuddlers and coworkers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
Glad to have you back on this Thursday edition of Talk Back. And we just finished up with Governor Greg Gianforte. And now a dear, dear friend of this show and, of course, of Town Square Media, our friend Aaron Flint. Good morning, Aaron. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Peter and Nick. Great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And I know that you're running for Congress right now, so I wanted to give you the first few minutes of our time together to talk about your decision and the support you're getting and why are you doing this?
Well, I tell you, it's been absolutely incredible. Peter, first off, I want to say thanks to Governor Greg Gianforte. I want to thank him for his support in this campaign. I want to thank him for what he's doing. A couple of the news items that we just heard there in the first half hour, these stewardship agreements. You know, not only are we fighting and will we continue to fight to keep public lands in public hands, but we're also fighting to better manage our federal lands as well. And that's exactly what the governor just announced there by talking about these stewardship agreements that have now crossed the million acre mark. This is so important to providing, you know, jobs for folks here in Montana. It's so important to better management of our national forests, and it's going to be key to making our timber industry great again as well here. So got to thank the governor for his work on that front. The other thought that I just had here, I heard Susan call in at the end of the last hour. And first off, to everybody who stepped up to run for office, thank you for stepping up. Now I know firsthand what it's like to be a candidate for office. And I just want to thank you and your families. I want to thank Al and Christy and Mr. Curtis there in Missoula. He was actually a teacher at my wife Jessica's high school at Big Sky High School there back in the day. So it was fun meeting him on the campaign trail. But I think back to 20 years ago when I was an infantry platoon leader in Ramadi, Iraq. You'd have tough days, you'd have hard days, but you know what? You had to get back out on that horse. You had to go back out on patrol. You had to keep taking the fight to the enemy. And when I was in Superior for a debate, a couple months ago, We had Democrats there. We had Republicans there. We had independents there. We had libertarians there. Everybody across the board. And you know what? The enemy didn't ask us if we were Democrats or Republicans or libertarians before they put bombs in the road to kill us. They simply wanted to kill us because we are Americans. And I think we have to always remember that we are all Americans. And I think most of us still share the same prayers at night before putting our kids to bed. We still share the same hopes and the same dreams.
Well, as you're running for Congress now, tell us a little bit about that effort. I know that you've been working toward this for a long time.
Well, I wouldn't say a long time. I think I've been working to avoid something like this for a long time.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. Well, Peter, you know, you know my family. You know my wife's family. My mother-in-law, Jean Jenkins. What a remarkable woman. She's good friends with you and your wife, Lorna. And I'll tell you what, you know, I've got to thank my wife, Jessica. You know, she's my top confidant, my top advisor in all of this. And, you know, she told me, she said, look, Aaron, people have been asking you to step up and serve in this capacity, running for an office like this for a long time. And they've been asking you to do this. And now is such a critical time. She said, Aaron, you're like Jonah refusing to go to Nineveh. Because why would anybody want to go to Congress? Why would you want to go back to Washington, D.C.? I don't need the stupid title. I certainly don't need to travel back and forth. And I certainly, you know, it's, but I think now we've got an opportunity to finally deliver for the people here in Montana and for hardworking families back here in Montana who so desperately need this right now. You know, I love the fact that I'm just an everyday Montana kid stepping up to serve everyday hardworking families here in Montana. You look at our opponent on the other side of the aisle, and thanks to him for stepping up and running as well. But you look at he had that deep embrace with AOC last week in Missoula,
right.
And that's symbolic of the deep embrace that he has of her far left policies. I'm an everyday Montana kid fighting to save Western Montana and our Western way of life. They want to turn Western Montana into the worst cities on the West Coast.
Aaron, we're coming up against a commercial break, a hard time commercial break here. And the phone lines are lighting up for you, sir. Everybody wants to talk with Aaron Flint. Steve, Dave, Harry, and more are coming in. And Nick's on the phone with somebody else right now as well. So hope you're all set to answer some questions from our listeners. And we appreciate you being here with us. Our phone number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, Aaron Flint, running for Congress, is our guest until 10 o'clock right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Now that I'm retired, I'm worried about making ends meet. Food, medicine, and rent cost more every day. And that's why I used BenefitsCheckup.org. It connected me to an extra $1,000 a month. BenefitsCheckup.org is a free service from the National Council on Aging. In a few clicks, older adults like me can see if they might qualify for money-saving programs. If you're on a fixed income, BenefitsCheckup.org might help you too. For free, visit today.
Supported by the U.S. Administration for Community Living.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. I'm Peter Christian. Aaron Flint is on the phone with us right now and ready to take calls from Steve. Steve, you're up first. A lot of folks waiting, so what's on your mind quickly?
Okay. Hey, Aaron, thanks for taking these calls. Hey, real quick, given the news today about the NIH lab in Hamilton, I sure hope that if you get elected, you work to shut that thing down. It's just how many more lives have to be lost at the hands of the NIH? You know, COVID is a primary example. But, sir, the purpose of my call is I think I used to consider myself a very much a Republican. I've certainly donated to a lot of Republican candidates in Montana. I've held parties at my home for candidates at the state legislature level. To drive funding for them and support for them. One of the things, though, that has really just driven me out of the party lately, and a lot of other people I talk to, especially a lot of other veterans down the Bitter Valley where I live, is this corner crossing issue. I was holding for the governor. I'd love to have talked to him about it. But I think I'm representative of the kind of person that sees the kind of language that he uses, that Kristen Juris has used, that others have used, the work that the land board just did to create illegality of corner crossing, make transfer of state lands a little easier for people who border them. Just we all see it as just plain and simple greed. And frankly, I think the Republican leadership in the state are on the very much the wrong side of this issue, sir. And folks like myself who threw their primary ballot in the trash can, basically, as that kind of language and communication was being used by the governor, are being driven out of, maybe not of voting like I'm describing, but are certainly being driven out of support for folks who have the Republican name behind themselves. And so, sir, you talk a lot about public lands and keeping it in public hands. I'd encourage you to talk amongst your leadership team and encourage them to get on the right side of this issue for the everyday working Montanan, you know, that wants to access public land by simply stepping over a corner.
Got it.
It's just such, it reeks of greed, and I would appreciate your help. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Aaron, please.
Yeah, no, Steve, thanks for that great phone call. And first off, hey, if you want to do a house party, I would love to come to your house for a house party. Let's make it happen. And it's important that guys like you are in the room with Republican leaders, with some of these other legislative leaders. I hope the state, I hope the legislature comes up with a corner crossing fix here on that issue in particular. I think there's also some things we could do creatively at the federal level to help fix this corner crossing issue. Because I just know for me, for somebody who lost a lot of my hunting weekends being gone on military deployments or for military training, how frustrating is it that you have to fight to find a good place to go hunting, right? And then to think that you're at a corner and you can't just simply cross right here into another section of land. I know it's deeply frustrating to so many patriots. In fact, I ran into a firefighter, a bunch of Kalispell firefighters at the Black Rifle Coffee Company last Saturday morning. And, you know, that Black Rifle Coffee logo, if you look at it, it's got four corners to it. And one of those firefighters, I believe a Marine Corps veteran, asked me about corner crossing. And I was standing in one of the corners and I said, look, we've got to figure out a way to make it easy for you to go from here to there. I hope the state comes up with a fix on that one. Back to the NIH. You know, I'm glad to see that there's some accountability taking place with regard to, I heard that story about what they were bringing into this country, and apparently allegations that they lied to customs agents when bringing these agents back into our country. I'm glad that Senator Tim Sheehy, who's supporting me in this campaign, has called for accountability and transparency and a full investigation. It looks like accountability is happening there. Now, what about some accountability for Fauci and the rest of these folks with what they did to this country, especially during the Biden years? So, Steve, I appreciate your phone call.
All right, let's get Dave on next. Dave, good morning. You're on with Aaron Flint. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to applaud you for your effort to desire to decrease fraud or corruption in the Capitol building, but I am concerned about corruption in the White House. Ever since 1967, every president has been audited while in office except Donald J. Trump. Every president who's had money in the stock market has put their money in a blind trust, and except Donald J. Trump. His people have invested large sums of money in many, many corporations, including Boeing Corporation. And he knows exactly where that money is at all times, and he could influence the value of that stock
Dave, what's your question? Because we got a lot of folks waiting.
Okay, I want to know, will you sign a bill that forces Donald J. Trump and future presidents to put their money in a blind trust?
All right, thanks for the call. Aaron, please.
Well, look, President Donald J. Trump is the most scrutinized, and by the way, the most unfairly scrutinized, unfairly attacked president. I mean, this is just so absurd what he has faced. This guy has lost money to fight for this country. They tried to kill him three times. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. what I'm going to do is when you send me back to Washington, I think Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents all agree with this fact. We have got to ban congressional stock trading. I'm going to fight to ban congressional stock trading. I'm also going to fight to get a balanced budget amendment. Peter, I know you've got. I know you were probably on the radio in the 1990s.
Yes, sir.
I was a junior high school kid in the 90s, and I remember when Republicans worked with a Democrat president to balance the budget.
Right.
I think we can bring the 90s back and balance the budget again. And if they can't pass a budget, they shouldn't get paid.
Sounds good. We have about a minute. Do we have time to take another call?
No,
we don't. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We have only about 12 minutes left in our time together with Aaron, and we have Harry, Greg, and Nancy all waiting to visit with you. We're going to take those calls when we come back, and we'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, our guest on the phone is Aaron Flint, and of course, he just recently won the District House a primary and running for Congress, and so that's why Aaron is here to share his thoughts and to share your thoughts with a candidate who might be representing you in Congress in Washington for the state of Montana. So we're looking forward to those questions when we come back. Our number 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, we want to say thank you for joining us right here on Talkback. Of course, right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We're coming back right after this quick timeout, so stay with us. Talkbackers brought
Real Estate present Missoula Real Estate Today on News Talk KGVO. The Beck and Beck team provides years of local experience for your real estate transaction and bring you guests that provide useful information on products and services available in our community on Missoula Real Estate Today. Saturday mornings from 8 till 8:30 and replayed Sunday mornings from 10:30 till 11 on News Talk KGVO, FM 98.3 and AM 1290 and on the free KGVO mobile app.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy. But if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Oh, the time is flying by on this half hour with our friend Aaron Flint, who's running for Congress. And let's get right back to the phones again. I believe Harry's been waiting the longest. Harry, good morning. You're on with Aaron Flint. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, you're running to be a congressman, which is part of the legislature. And one of the jobs of the legislature that the founding fathers made was to be a check and balance to the executive branch. So can you be check and balance to the executive branch? Can you say no to Trump? And with that in mind, can you point to anything in the first term or second term where you would have said no to Trump and been able to withstand the pressure from the party and the Trump, or are you just going to be a rubber stamp like the rest of the legislature, which means the legislature is meaningless since Trump gets what he wants?
All right. Okay, thanks for the call. Aaron, go ahead, please.
Well, first, I would just disagree with the assumption that's being made there. Look, Peter, you've been covering Montana news for the past couple of years here. What happened in 2024? Our friend Senator Tim Sheehy won that very important U.S. Senate race. And look, there's going to be times where Senator Sheehy and Senator Daines disagree with something that's going on in the administration. But you know what they do? They go over to the White House and they talk with the president. And they talk with the president's team. And that's what I'm going to do as well. None of us are going to agree on everything. I was so pleased to be endorsed by President Donald J. Trump. Some people like his fighting style. Some people don't like his fighting style. But we all agree we want fighters to go back to Washington. And look, there's going to be but the question is how do we fight? Sometimes we stand on the floor and we name and shame some of these members of Congress that need to be called out, for example. Like I say, that's why I support a ban on congressional stock trading. Sometimes it's sitting down and having a cup of coffee with somebody, and that's the best way to fight. And so there's going to be times where I'll disagree with the president and his team, And you know what? I think the president has shown that his door is open and he will sit down with you and work with you. And we've seen that, for example, on Montana beef, where both Senator Daines and Senator Sheehy will go to the president and let them know where they disagree. We've also seen where we're going to disagree with our fellow Republicans on some things, like keeping public lands in public hands. And it was our Republican congressional delegation that fought to keep public lands in public hands, and that's what I'm going to do as well. So I appreciate your question, because I think there's a lot of Democrats who are going to vote for a Republican, maybe for the first time ever in this congressional race, because they see how crazy our opponent is. He supports sanctuary cities. Yeah, I could go on and on.
That's okay.
He's a far left ACLU lobbyist. It's crazy.
Let's try to get one more call in. Greg, go ahead, please, quickly.
Hi, Aaron. It's Greg Lehman from Gallatin Gateway, the Republican running for House District 60. First off, huge congratulations on your primary win Tuesday. And, you know, we're both first-time candidates. If you told me 6 months ago that I'd be running for the state legislature, and I told you you were crazy. So my question for you is, what's something you've learned about running for office that you didn't see coming before you got into this?
You got about 2.5 minutes, Aaron.
Hey, great question. And Greg, by the way, Peter, he pronounced his own name wrong there. I just want you to know that it's not Lehman, it's Lehman. It's LeMan. I told him that when I saw his name there. But no, but it was fun seeing you and your wife in Bozeman last Sunday, and congrats to you. What's the one thing that I've learned? You know, it's funny, you know, being involved here in Montana, being in the fight every single day, year after year. You know, you already see, you know, some of the bias in the media. You know that's coming. You know the fake phony attacks from the far left are coming. What's the one thing that I've learned, though? You know what? I got to say, the one thing that I've learned is actually how fun a campaign can be, actually how exciting a campaign can be. When you get to go travel across Montana and see the folks, think about all the great folks that you get to hear call into this show right now. And I'll bet you're saying to yourself, man, I'd love to meet Nancy in Roundup. Man, I'd love to meet Greg in Bozeman. I'd love to meet Harry in Missoula. I'd love to meet Ken in Great Falls. I've gotten to get out and meet so many incredible folks all across Montana. And so I guess that's the one thing that surprised me, is that I didn't realize how much fun you can actually have in a campaign. Now, the job itself is probably going to be quite another story. It's going to be like, oh, great, here we go. Like I say, they're sending you to Nineveh for this one. But I tell you, the campaign trail has just been an absolute blast. So, Peter, you should think about running one of these days.
I think not. But what I would love for you to do is take 30 seconds or so and tell us why we should vote for you, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, here's why. Because whether my family homesteaded here, and some of you, your family homesteaded here as well. Some of you just got here because you are escaping these West Coast cities that have been destroyed. They shut down your churches. They shut down your school for your kids. You came here for freedom. Don't let the people who destroyed Portland and Seattle and L.A. take over Western Montana. Go to flintformontana.com. Donate right now, because we're going to need all your help to combat the Bernie, AOC, Ilhan Omar crazies.
All right. Aaron Flint, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thanks, Peter and Nick.
Thank you, sir. All right, then, Mr. Nick, what's coming up on tomorrow's show, please, sir?
The first hour from 8 to 9 will be City Talk, and then from 9 to 10, it will be Open Phones.
All right, there you go. And again, thanks for joining us for today on Talk Back. We thank our guests and, of course, all of our callers. You guys make it happen. And get out there and make it a super day. We will see you tomorrow morning bright and early at 8 o'clock for another edition of Talk Back here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Have yourselves a great day. Okay.